You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Another deep round of layoffs recently at the Sacramento Bee raised new questions about the future of the paper. It's something I talked about with longtime political columnist Dan Walters, who left the Bee himself not so long ago. Here's some of what he said about the future of newspapers.
How long will a paper survive? I don't know. I mean, it could be going out 2 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But it will go away eventually. That's certain. And not only in Sacramento, but in other places. On the other hand, it will remain indefinitely in a lot of smaller towns, particularly, where they don't have that kind of competition for digital, for eyeballs, and for ad revenue. And I think the big operations, the New York Times, the Washington Post, people like that, they'll survive.
So that was Dan Walters on Insight last June. Just a few weeks ago on April 24th, 15 more newsroom staffers and another 8 people in production and on the copy desk lost their jobs. That included senior reporter Ed Fletcher, an arts and culture reporter. He's also a very well-known personality in the region. Ed was the employees' union leader, and he's in the studio with me now. Welcome. I'm so sorry these circumstances have brought us here together, but I'm really glad you're here for this conversation.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
So what's happening at the Sacramento Bee and with its parent organization, the McClatchy Company?
The news industry in general is in a state of decline, and it's been a long state of decline, and McClatchy is suffering, and McClatchy is still trying to pay off the debt it acquired from acquiring Knight Ridder. So it demands that each of the papers continue to make a profit. And to continue to make a profit in an environment where advertising revenue is shrinking, they're having to downsize the newsroom or cut costs where they can. And the big picture is this transition from a print-only newspaper to being a multidimensional news organization. But mostly the focus now is on the digital operation, and the print operation is a little bit of a afterthought. So it's been a rough transition for the company, and they're still trying to figure it out.
Some people speculate that had that acquisition not happened, the company wouldn't be in this situation. The newsroom would be more flourishing than it is. And yet, across the country, the impact of technology and the digital way of covering news is taking its toll, even on companies that weren't faced with the kind of debt McClatchy is. What's your opinion about that?
I would side with the people that would suggest that McClatchy would still be in trouble. You're seeing newspapers across the country that are cutting staff dramatically. The model is changing, and the news industry has to change to adjust to that. And it hasn't been hugely successful. You'd think about all the money that Google and Apple and Yahoo and everybody is taking from what used to be traditional revenue for newspapers, and they're having to compete in that environment. The news operation isn't broke per se. It's the advertising model. So the reality is that it costs money to make news. So in this transition to a digital audience, somebody's got to pay for it, and they still have to figure that out. And that's been the struggle. Whether you're paying for it in terms of like giving to Capital Public Radio or paying for your news on a website, people have to pay for it. And that's the tough transition in this digital world, because we've got so used to the internet being free.
Hmm. You grew up here. You remember when this was a Toon newspaper city.
Yeah, I grew up in Orangevale. So my brother threw the union, and I would occasionally help him out and do that. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing when you have two newspapers and they're competing and you've got different sources to look for news. And you still have that in a way with digital media. But Sacramento, like a lot of communities, lost its second paper. And the remaining paper is dramatically smaller than what it was just 10 years ago.
The timetable is kind of startling, Ed, because the Sacramento Union started in 1851 and then came the Bee in 1857. And for all those decades and decades, the two newspapers, and sometimes in some cities, papers were morning paper and an evening paper, two publications. Then in 1994, the union closed, and the conversation then was about revenue and to some degree about circulation. But suddenly, we've had these last 2 years of deeply gutting layoffs at the B with the union already gone. And there's a sense that that strong tradition of print journalism and covering the news, even though it might still be present in a digital sense, is really in its biggest sense going to disappear.
Yeah, the reality is there's just far fewer boots on the ground or people that are at those meetings. So whereas, you know, say in 2006, we had 306 reporters at the Sacramento Bee. After the layoffs, there's 66 total newsroom employees. So 306 to 66, that's 80% of the staff gone in that time. So we used to have a reporter at every school board meeting, at every city council meeting, and you just can't do that anymore. So if you look at crime reporting or education reporting, there's one reporter left, and all she can do is write about the pedophile of the day, and there's not enough time to write about curriculum or other things that don't get as much traffic. So the news industry has changed, and you know, people are get less news because of it.
Something else in that is there's just this basic love of newspapers, and you pick up the paper, as Dan Walters says. And while your eye might start with a front page story, as you flip through the pages, you're likely to see another headline that grabs your attention, and then you divert and read that story. With digital and directed news coverage, the criticism is you're a lot less likely to find other news or features or stories that are happening in the world around you.
The way we consume news has fundamentally changed. You talked about how you would pick up a newspaper and casually look for stories. People don't go to news websites and do that anymore. Most people go directly to one story that they came across on Facebook or Twitter, and they consume that story, and maybe they stick around for one other story. But for the most part, they're back on to the next, like, puppy video.
Even with all the
else.
Options over in the column to the right,
right
or to the left. Well, where do you think it's going? Do you agree with Dan Walters that at some point the paper is going to be gone in this region?
I hope that it's a long, slow sort of evolution, and that the paper maybe turns into a weekly magazine before you see it go the way of the dodo bird. But I think there'll be a continued evolution there, and you know, who knows where we're going to be at in 5 years. We're in a period of dramatic, rapid change, and we need to figure out how we adjust our model to how people live their lives today.
You're listening to Ed Fletcher. He is a former senior reporter for the Sacramento Bee, former unit leader of the Sacramento unit of the Pacific Media Workers Guild. He's also the lead producer of a documentary film that's in production right now. It's titled Do the Dance, which we can talk about in a moment. I don't want to leave the point about being a local reporter and the role that you saw for yourself in the community. And with that, I'm thinking about the intense amount of talent that's been let go from the Sacramento Bee, those people trying to find new places in a community that they really claim as their own, that they don't want to leave.
Yeah, it's a really tremendous experience to go from being, you know, you feel like an important cog of the community. You're at city council meetings, you're bouncing around everywhere, you know a lot of people, and now you've got to figure out who you are and what you do. And I'm thinking I'm probably going to do some freelance journalism, but also do some media consulting and other things. But there's a lot of journalists that are in transition, and probably are. Public relations community is better for it. But those were people that were frontline journalists out there collecting stories, and our community will suffer a little bit for it.
Some people will change with the formats and the mediums changing. Out of this, I think there will be websites or online contributors. Certainly some of your colleagues have gone to organizations like CalMatters. So there will be some adapting. Do you think about that for yourself?
Right. Well, you know, part of my transition has been this thing I called Take Ed to Lunch. And I met with Hank Shaw. And Hank Shaw is another former journalist that was transitioned out of journalism. And he found his love of food writing and his hunter-angler gatherer.
Right.
I think I'm saying that wrong.
Right. he's self-publishing his books now.
Right. You may not have seen that if he had been happy as a Capitol reporter. So there may be some good that comes from this, and people will reinvent themselves and find new ways to contribute and share and harness their skills. Mm-hmm. And I will envision that for myself. I don't know what form that's going to take yet, but there's life yet in these bones.
For the group of people just laid off, the departures were in early May. I saw a byline by Marjorie Lundstrom today, so I know some people's work is still emerging. You were working on stories related to the local artist Hobo Johnson and a Black Lives Matter Sacramento protest. So I think the timing coincided, learning about the layoff and your work on that, which is important under that umbrella of cultural appropriations. So what's happening to that, for example, the work you were doing?
It's a great question. So we'd come across a post about from Black Lives Matter about Hobo Johnson and their claim that he was appropriating Black culture and that he needed to make clear that he was, one, not from Oak Park, and two, that he's not Black, and that and he needs to give proper respect. And that was their viewpoint. And so I started on that story and was lining up interviews and had an interview scheduled the next day with the Black Lives, Tanya Faison and Brazy from Black Lives Matter. And that day I get the call that I'm laid off, and I didn't know what to do. And do I call and cancel the interview or show up? And I ended up showing up at the interview because I didn't have a way to tell them to cancel the interview. And that's the story that essentially went unwritten. Well, it may eventually find a home, but it was an interesting story, and it would have preceded the protest that we saw over the weekend where Black Lives Matter showed up at the Hobo Johnson concert and I guess briefly blocked people from entering. Mm-hmm. And it's a incredibly sort of sensitive issue, this issue of cultural appropriation, and we saw it with a story I posted from the Washington Post about a girl who wore an Asian dress to prom, and there was a big uproar about whether or not that was cultural appropriation.
Right.
But anyway, this is just sort of an example of a story that didn't get written when you have fewer reporters, and they probably will get on the story eventually. But, you know.
Can I ask about the union aspect of this? What kind of protection was in place for the employees because of the union?
That's a great question, and thanks for asking. I was the unit leader for the Sacramento unit, and we have a contract, and most employees don't have a contract, and there were rules that outlined what your compensation were you laid off. So having been there nearly 18 years, I got the maximum, which was 26 weeks of severance. Most people wouldn't get that. You'd be on unemployment right away, and you'd be struggling, and you'd have to take the first job that comes along, and thankfully, years ago, there was an employee union that was formed. We negotiated a contract, and there are written conditions in which reporters, the minimum pay for reporters, maximum hours. So in a way, it was a blessing to have those protections and to get that, you know. But it was also a strain on me as a reporter having to be sort of the voice of opposition and pushing back against management over all these years. So, you know, hopefully that all, you know, benefits me in the long run, but it certainly benefits me in the short run having that additional compensation.
It sounds like either all or almost all employees left with either a retirement buyout package or some sort of severance.
Everybody leaves with severance, all full-time employees received a severance based on their number of years they were at the B.
Okay. Well, I don't want to leave without talking about this film project that you're working on, because it's great when one door closes, as they say, that at least somewhere else, some other window is open and you have a place to look in the immediate future. So tell me about the documentary film and when it's due out.
Well, we hope to finish it this year. Last year, we raised $10,000 on a crowdfunding campaign. It's still technically on Indiegogo, so if you'd want to contribute, you're still open to do that. It's about the limits of free expression and a trial that happened here in Sacramento. And I actually would not have known about it had I not worked at the Bee. An older reporter was telling me about this crazy trial that the judge took the strippers, took the jury to the strip club so that they could observe what happened. And I couldn't believe it. So I tried to find it on the internet, and I couldn't find it on the internet. And luckily I worked at the Bee at the time, and I went to the newspaper archives and I found the clips and started my voyage of sort of discovery. And, you know, it sort of stuck with me because I grew up in the town of Orangevale, or the community of Orangevale, and here was this club that existed back then.
1969. Yeah. So the film is titled Do the Dance.
Do the Dance.
Come back when it's released and we'll talk about it.
I'd love to.
Okay. And in the meantime, hashtag take Ed to lunch. I've seen this floating around on Twitter. How many lunches so far?
I've been to 7 official lunches, and it's really just a chance to shake the network and also to get some insight and talk to people about their entrepreneurial paths and their thoughts about journalism and really sort of shape my way forward.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Best of luck in the transition. And we'll watch for the next projects, Ed.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That is Ed Fletcher, formerly from the Sacramento Bee. There's more at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Capital Public Radio.